Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello and welcome to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, the fastest growing B2B radio network in the country. I'm your host, Karen Nowicki. And in the studio with me today, I can tell is going to be a fast friend. Within moments, we've already connected. David Bryson with Sparkle Time Windows. Welcome to the studio.
Karen, thank you so much for having me. Truly appreciate it. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
Such a joy. And it's funny, I wrote down Window Bryson. Does anybody ever call you Window?
No. Our motto, I go to a B&I group and you have to have a little ad. And my little tagline is, we'd love to wipe your glass.
Nice. So, I like that. I'm in some of those networking meetings where you say your little motto and then they finish it for you.
Right.
So you ought to, do you do it that way?
So I have 60 people who say, we'd love to wipe your glass.
I love it. But hey, it's memorable. They will never forget that you're the window guy.
That's correct. That's correct.
Good. So I'm fascinated. We've had a chance to get to know each other a little bit via email and of course, a few minutes before going on air today. Tell me about Sparkle Time Windows. Let's start there. And then I want to hear the backstory because I know it's fascinating.
So Sparkle Time Windows has been around for about 14 years in the Phoenix Valley. It was started by a gentleman. I think he was an ASU student and he was looking for a business to start. And if I hear the legend of the story correctly, he just sort of bought a window washing kit and just sort of started cleaning windows, advertising on Google AdWords and built the business. And then I guess it was about 3.5 years ago, he went it out and he sold it to the gentleman that I ended up buying it from. And so we have a database of thousands of people, and we do both commercial and residential cleaning here in the Phoenix Valley.
All over the valley.
All over. We go from anywhere down to Queen Creek to Cave Creek to Gilbert to Sun City. And I would say 70% of our database is probably in the Paradise Valley, Scottsdale area.
Great. So how often ought we be getting our windows washed?
Most people, with all that goes on in the Phoenix Valley, there's a lot of stuff with the monsoons, the haboobs, yes. The rain, the hard water buildup. Most people should be getting it done every 3 to 4 months on a residential level. Commercial properties, sometimes we do them every 2 weeks.
Right. Well, I think it's different commercial. Obviously, if I'm a business owner, I need to have my business looking as clean and as presentable as it can be. My home ought to be the same way.
Should be.
But for me, at least personally, that I do it twice a year, but I really would love to have it done more frequently because there's nothing more beautiful than looking out the window and not seeing that you have glass in front of you.
Karen, it's so funny you mentioned that. Sometimes it's just like you have glasses, I have glasses. And when you take that cloth and you wipe them clean, you're like, oh my, what a difference. And the other thing I equated to is like after you've done your laundry at home and you crawl into the bed with clean sheets, it's that kind of feeling. It's just sort of brand new and refreshing. You're like, wow, I can see Camelback Mountain or my backyard or my swimming pool. So clean windows, it is underestimated how powerful they can be.
I've used the same company, you know, again, a handful of times. How do you guys price windows? There's got to be a wonderful technique for that.
Yeah, it's not an exact science. How we usually do it is based on the square footage of the house.
Okay.
We usually do it on a pane count of the house and based on an estimation of how many man hours we think it'll take to complete that house. As I mentioned, we have a database of thousands of people, you know, that we've built up over the years. So if people call us and they say, hey, I want a window washing quote, do you need to come out and do it? Most of the time, we don't have to unless it's a really unique house because with Google, Zillow, and
you can see the whole
that's
thing.
Right. We can usually, sometimes we can see 80 pictures of somebody's house inside and out. So we can get a pretty good estimation of how big are the panes, how small are the panes. Usually what we want to find out from the homeowner is, have they had any construction done recently, painting, landscaping, because those are the kind of things that really, in our words, sort of trash a window.
Okay.
So sometimes that will require a little extra love on our part.
Screens.
We do screens too. Screens are additional. So we charge for just a residential home screen, $3 extra a screen. And for patio sliders, screens, $6 a screen. But
it's
do them.
Very reasonable.
Yeah, absolutely. And no one likes to do them. And screens are probably one of the most labor-intensive parts of the window washing process because they have to be taken off by hand, cleaned, and then put on again.
Ours are so bad. I've been in my home for 21 years, and our screens are so bad. Not dirty, but so torqued because we weren't taking them off properly.
Yeah, it's interesting. We see a lot of issues on people's houses, and that's why you were asking me how often should maintenance be done. And a lot of people in the Scottsdale Paradise Valley area, this is their second home too, so I don't think they necessarily give the time and attention to their house and the maintenance that it deserves, not just windows, but any aspect of the house as well. So very good point.
Yeah, and I would imagine just even doing that helps keep it somewhat lubricated, right? And making sure that that screen or that window can open and shut.
Absolutely. And a lot of people, they don't spend too much time in cleaning their tracks either. And a lot of, believe me, a lot of stuff can build up in those tracks as well. Sometimes, I mean, we have to get in there with a screwdriver and a shop vac to try to clean them out so that door, the window, or the screen can slide on it.
And now I'm remembering that the last time we had our patio door professionally cleaned, of course, all of the windows in the house were done. I remember opening that door, and our guys, thank goodness, did such a great job. That door went flying open, and it had not done that, obviously, in 6 months to a year before,
right?
Because we hadn't had it cleaned.
No, you're right. It's what a difference sometimes these little things make.
Yes.
Just in your day-to-day living at your house.
So in your pricing, residential, is it similar or is it different for commercial pricing?
Much different. The commercial market is, how shall I say, much more aggressively priced. So residential prices are higher than commercial. Commercial, it's like people want it done because, like you alluded to, people want their business to look good. They just don't seem to pay the same prices that people do for residential.
Well, and more consistent, right? If you have an
That's
opportunity,
correct.
You win a bid or you get the job, then you can count on having them being back with that business owner.
That's correct. And that's usually sort of what's priced into the commercial things, are sort of a volume discount, as it were, that we're going to be doing them every 2 weeks or every month. And therefore, we're going to try to price it accordingly and get a contract so that we know what we're getting and you know what you're getting as well, too.
Yeah. We mentioned one of the co-work spaces just a few moments ago before we got on air, and I mentioned that they have tons of windows inside. Do you do interior windows for business
we
as well?
We do. So how a house is usually priced is we usually price the interior exterior of the window. So that's, you know, the side facing out and the side facing
sure.
in. And then any windows or mirrors that are on the inside, those are called relights. So if somebody wants relights done, you know, pieces of partition glass, that is a separate quote in addition to just what it would be for the normal interior exterior. So we do those. It's just, it's a separate pricing mechanism as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any funny stories about cleaning windows? We won't have you name any names or give addresses, but...
No. I'll tell you a funny story from literally, I think it was I had just bought the company a year ago, August, and I went out on a quote with one of the guys. We're in Fountain Hills, and you know, he had texted us that, hey, the main gate is locked, but you can go in through the side gate, just sort of reach over and unlatch it. And I was like, okay, great. So I'm sort of taking the lead, and I'm walking up. And have you ever heard when a sprinkler breaks... And it just sort of like running water. It's like,
sure.
So I'm walking up and it sounded like a sprinkler broke. And I was like, didn't even know a sprinkler was running. And so I say something to my coworker and he's like, dude, he's like, that ain't a sprinkler. He's like, that's a rattlesnake.
Yes,
and I was like, rattlesnake. I had only lived in the valley a month. So I look in the bushes and literally probably from where I am to you, one more foot beyond was this rattlesnake coiled in the corner. And he was just like, he was letting me know he was there. He is obviously a very nice guy. And it was so funny. All I could do was laugh because I still had to go through the gate to walk around and quote the house. So, you know, I tried to take a couple pictures of him, which I don't know if he was happy about or not. So reached my hand over. We went around the house. And then as we were walking back, we were about 30 feet away, dead silent. You could hear him start up his rattler again. He was like, okay, you two fools, I'm still here if you really get close. So, you know, we walked out and it was fine. And later I learned that rattlesnakes don't need to give that warning before they strike. That is sort of a courtesy if they do.
Really?
So. Yes, that there's...
So he was a nice guy.
He was a nice guy. And, you know, he was just in his little real estate and he didn't want anybody disturbing it. So I thought that was funny for one of my first days on the job,
yeah,
as it were.
Welcome to Arizona.
Exactly.
And yeah, oh my goodness, knock on wood. I've been here for, well, since 79. And I have never seen a rattlesnake around my home or any home that I've lived in. Knock on wood. I'm knocking on my table. I hope it's wood. Yeah. So let's go back to talking about windows. And then I want to hear how, because you're a fascinating gentleman. I already know that in the little bit of time that I've spent with you. Windows. I have is it called dual pane? I have the dual pane windows in my bathroom, and one, the exterior one I can see has cracked. So there's, because it's a bathroom window, there's a lot of condensation or moisture. I probably ought to get that fixed.
That is correct. That probably means your seals are leaky. So you probably need to have those redone. And I mean, I know lots of professional people that do windows. So I know the glass guru of Scottsdale, he could help you out. But you're right. So you're getting condensation in there. And that's usually the issue. And you do want to get that taken care of before too long, or it'll build up.
Have you ever found that when you're doing windows and you're cleaning them for folks, you're saying, hey, are you aware that you've got a crack or you've got this or that? Are they most often aware that they have something?
Karen, brilliant point. I would say most people are not aware of what is going on with their house. And I mean, I can only speak to the window aspect of it. But what I usually try to have my guys do is do a walk around with the owner before so that we can point out.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about it from that perspective.
You know, a crack or a break or excessive hard water buildup, or, hey, why did this happen? One of the most common things I see is the gardeners with their blowers or leaf blowers or whatever they are. They will shoot a rock and it'll look like a BB hit perfectly in the middle of the window.
We have one of those.
Right. And on your dual pane, it'll impact the glass in between the two panes. And one gentleman thought we had done this with like squeegees and mops. And I was like, sorry, sir. Our tools couldn't do that, but he didn't, you know, it had been so long since he'd been to his house, he just hadn't seen it happen, and we were the last people there.
But it makes sense. I hadn't even asked that question for that reason, but as you teed that up, I understand that walking around and just saying, hey, you know, let's notice what's going on so that and a homeowner or a business owner doesn't come back and say, hey, this wasn't here before.
Like I said, one of the ways of triangulation that we do an estimate is through a pane count. It just helps us triangulate the cost. And there was one woman I spoke to in Paradise Valley, and I asked her how many panes she had. And she goes, oh, I have 45. And, you know, my schedule and I, we sort of looked at her house online, and it seemed a little low. So, you know, we said, oh, I'm going to drive out there. And I walked around. It was 90 panes.
Oh my goodness.
So I think a lot of people literally just aren't aware of what they own, what they have, the condition of everything. So we just try to make sure they're aware of that before we go in so that there's no hidden surprises for us or for them either.
Good. Okay. Anything else you want to tell us about sparkle time?
Well, it's getting into, we just sort of passed monsoon season, hopefully. And
Is the key word here. I think we may have another couple coming through.
We'll see. We're hoping not. So a lot of our clients are getting back into town. Good. I would say call us, book now, book early, because we get tremendously busy in latter half of September, October, November, and December. But we are always looking to add new clients.
As a homeowner, we get excited because we know we're having guests over for the holidays, right?
Absolutely.
And so hence, is that why you tend to get busier? Or is it also because a lot of
I think a lot of the people who this is their second home, they're coming back in. It's like, funny enough, it's like our phone goes on after Labor Day. It's like it hadn't been working for 3 months, and all of a sudden, the switch flips and people are calling again. And then it's the holidays, and everybody does want to get them polished up before the holidays as well. So it's just a combination of both.
Okay, good. I just thought of a couple other guests as you were chatting that I'd love to introduce you to. They are movers, and they do they work with people on their interior design in the same clientele that you service. So we'll have to make sure that you get in touch with them.
You know who it's been my best referral source probably over the course of the last year is, funnily enough, is janitorial service companies. Because they do a lot of commercial buildings, like, you know, the Harley Davidson properties. They do hotels, they do restaurants, but their workers don't do windows, as it were. So they have to subcontract that out. So they're always looking for good people. So that's always a wonderful introduction, as well as, funnily enough, janitorial companies.
I haven't thought of this in years. I used to run a real estate practice years ago with my first marriage. And one of the gifts that we gave in about a year and a half of helping people, you know, into their new homes was a year of window cleaning service. I have never thought of that again since then. Isn't that funny?
Wow, what a great gift.
I mean, the bottle of wine or the gift basket, but we wanted to do something different. And we did window washing service for a year for homeowners. And it was fantastic. So I don't know. I haven't thought of that in quite some time.
Who wouldn't appreciate that? What a great gift. Very thoughtful.
Oh, it was fantastic. So we're talking about, obviously, other businesses that you can collaborate and co-work with. You mentioned, as we came on air, that you're a member of BNI.
That's correct. Yeah. I've been a member of a BNI group in Scottsdale called BNI Connectors. We meet at the Orange Tree Resort in Scottsdale, and it is a great and vibrant group who really get along as well. But the primary purpose of everybody going is obviously to refer business to one another. And people really take great pride and joy in trying to do that. And there's a lot of different businesses and industries represented.
It's a neat, I was going to say networking group, but it's really a neat community, BNI. I've had an occasion to go several times in the East Valley for some of my clients when they haven't been able to go. And I've just always loved the camaraderie, the reciprocity, and the really focus around successful businesses, right?
Absolutely, Karen. And if you think about it, it's like we're all trying to, quote unquote, get our business to the next level. And I can advertise, I can get more homeowners. But sometimes when you go into a network of 60 people, they know people that run businesses and own property management groups where they know 30 buildings that need cleaning on a monthly basis. And those are access to connections that I just wouldn't have in my day-to-day goings about. Or there are people who might not be looking on Google for my website and giving us a call. Sometimes, you know, that warm referral is the best way to get into these places.
Absolutely. Good. Well, it's a great shout out to BNI Connectors.
Is
that what you said? And at Orange Tree?
They meet at the Orange Tree Resort in Scottsdale.
Good. I'll have to make sure when we put your interview today on our network, we'll not only put your information for Sparkle Time, but also let's give a shout out to BNI as well.
That would be very appreciated. Thank you.
Are you looking for members in that group?
They
know sometimes
are.
They're closed because they have every industry, or not every industry, but most industries represented.
Who do we need at the moment? We actually, our HVAC guy just dropped out. He was sort of a mom and pop guy. And okay. So HVAC is always big at these. I think we need a landscaper. We need an electrician. So they're always looking for people to grow as well. And as you know, sometimes people do BNI for a year or two, and some of them, their business honestly grow so much they can't put
get
in the
away.
Time anymore, so they get out.
Yeah, good. All right, so Sparkle Time, or Sparkle Bryson, as I'm now going to call you from now on.
You're killing me.
How did you land with a window cleaning business?
So I had worked for other people pretty much most of my adult life, and I think it's quote unquote the American dream that at some point you do want to own your own business and give it a try and see how it goes. So I had looked about 4 years ago, I had started looking into buying a business. And the first one I sort of came across was laundromats, because I was like, brilliant. No employees, and only has machines. Even a ding-dong like me could run a place like that. But then the more due diligence I did, yes, on laundromats, these machines are your bread and butter. They're your employees. And they tend to break down a lot because they get used a lot. So you can do two things. You can sort of either really, A, be a handy guy and fix them yourself, or mm-hmm, B, pay a repairman to come in and repair them, which is a lot of money going out the door. And I just don't have sort of the mechanical skill set nor the inclination, I think, to repair them on the level that they needed to be repaired at. So I sort of passed on that. And then I sort of started looking at franchises. And I think franchises are great because you sort of get a cookie cutter model of how to start a business. You have CRMs in place, accounting in place, all these different things. But they're expensive. As you know,
yes,
they can be expensive, and they can be expensive, you know, recurring on a monthly basis. So I just sort of started looking at all sorts of businesses. And what I liked about Sparkle Time was it was a home-based business. It was not a franchise. So it seemed like for me, being a first-time business owner, this was sort of a good place to get my first, get my feet wet. And in this year plus that I've owned it, it's been a tremendous, tremendous learning experience. So,
and you have a team. It's not just you, David. That's right?
That's correct. So I have a full-time scheduler, a great gentleman named Bradley. So he does all the booking and sales, and he's been with Sparkle Time for about 4 or 5 years now, and he's great. So he allows me to be out here, and then I'm not answering the phone or doing emails. And then we have a crew of about anywhere from 4 to 7 guys in the field who clean the windows on a regular basis. We call them techs, or technicians, and they're great guys who enjoy what they do. And what people don't realize is that window washing is a skilled trade. You and I...
Oh, trust me. When I do clean my own windows, I feel like a complete fool.
That's right. You or I could clean a window, but that isn't saying it'd be professionally done.
Right.
So I'm grateful to have the team that I do, because they represent Sparkle Time well and myself well. And I think give our customers a great customer service experience as well.
Good. And some of these guys, like Bradley, were on prior to you.
That's correct. Although Bradley was on, and only other one gentleman was on, I had about 90% turnover.
Well, that's very typical.
Yeah.
I would have been surprised if you said more than that. But
so I would say it's all gentlemen. All the guys I have now are aligned sort of with the culture and the philosophy that I have about a great customer service experience and how I want clients treated, and just how we should go forward on our day-to-day basis of growing our business and dealing with our clients.
Good. Who is a great client for you? It's either commercial or residential.
Yeah, commercial. It's somebody who, you know, we have a Midwestern University is one of our greatest clients, and they have a 22 campus facility,
yes.
And they always have different needs for having the buildings done on a recurring basis. We have other hotels who, you know, Fountain Hills, Glendale, who need, you know, monthly servicing done. We have restaurants here in Scottsdale that we do every 2 weeks. We have real estate offices. So on the commercial side, it's anybody who needs it done from, you know, $100 a month to thousands of dollars a month worth of servicing. And then on the residential side, it's just people anywhere who really, like you said, just enjoy sort of having their windows cleaned and what that brings to them, and just really seeing through clean glass and not even knowing glass there.
It makes all the difference in the world. We have lovebirds in our neighborhood. There's pockets, I don't know if you're aware of that, pockets of lovebirds in the Metro Phoenix area. And we happen to have about, 30 of them that tend to come. And I'm kind of the bird lady, as my 23-year-old will call me. But there's nothing more that I enjoy than putting out the bird seed, looking out through a crisp, clean, fresh window, feeling like they're right there. Because of course, I can hear them through the window as well. Yeah, it's really, really pleasant to have clean windows. My cleaning crew is at my home today, actually. Hoot, hoot. I've had them, oh my gosh, for I think 12 years, the same cleaning crew come for 12 years. My home is modest. It's not a big home, but I love having them. But they don't do windows. They'll do baseboards. They do the fans, but they don't do windows. So yes, we'll have to connect, because while I have had my windows done about twice a year, I don't have a commitment to anybody. I tend to look to see who's the best deal rather than building the relationship. So you're on the hook now.
All right, I'm on the hook. And I mean, I'm not going to say we're always the cheapest, but we do provide a great service for what we provide.
Well, and that's who, you know, that's obviously who we want to work with. So you also do some fun things outside of Sparkle Time in your business. You also are a radio guy. I was going to say like me, but I'm not a guy, so that wouldn't make sense to say that. But you are a sports fanatic. Would that be fair to say that? Yeah,
sports enthusiast, sports fanatic, something like that.
Yeah. And you have your own sports show.
I do.
Tell us about that.
So can I back up a little
please.
On that? Absolutely.
Because it's new for me. So fill us in.
Okay. So I went to Indiana University and I graduated as an acting major. And I moved down to LA when I was 21 years old to be an actor. I was going to put everybody in their place. And 2.5 years later, I think I was sleeping out of my car and gambling in Vegas for rent money. So, but I had pursued acting and got my SAG cards for doing extra work. I had an enjoyable time. I moved to Chicago. I had grown up in the suburbs of Chicago, a city called Wheaton, but lived in Chicago, did some plays. I wrote a book at that time called The Starving Actor's Guide to Starving.
Oh.
It was about being a young, dumb actor in LA, which I thoroughly excelled at. So I tried to get the book published, and not much was happening. And about that time, I was going to be 27. I moved to New York City, and I managed to get an excerpt of my book published in Entertainment Weekly magazine. So I thought that was going to be cool. I was like, this is it. Fortunately, it wasn't it. I think I got a couple of drinks bought for me out of the deal, but that was fun. So it really encouraged me to sort of write and educate. And out of that, I actually started a website at the time. This is 17 years ago, called starvingactor.com, which is not up anymore. And the whole purpose of the book and the website was that if I had done A, as a young actor, you would probably be better off doing Z. And I just told that through an autobiographical way. And that was the whole purpose, was to educate and share my experiences with others. And then probably about the time I got starvingactor.com put up, I got hired as a sports broadcaster in London, England. And that was a tremendous opportunity. It was a television company started by this billionaire out of Hong Kong. His name was Richard Lee. At the time, he was the second richest man in Hong Kong, only to his father, who was the first richest man.
Okay.
And he owned a telecommunications company called PCCW. And think about it, in the year 2000, he wanted to dual broadcast on the internet and on cable and satellites. So when we watch our favorite shows now and somebody, you know, Anderson Cooper says, oh, hey, you know, Karen just tweeted in with this comment. He wanted to do that 17 years ago.
Ahead of his time.
Yeah, we would do live webcam interviews with four people and talk about the U.S. Open or NFL football.
Very cool.
And unfortunately, the year 2000, the NFL, Premier League Soccer, nobody had figured out how to sell their internet rights yet. So we couldn't show any highlights. So all we could do was talk, interview people, and do pieces where they showed the hosts out in the field. Like, I could do anything. I'd be like, can you guys film me getting a lesson of helicopter flying? Sure. We know a guy. He'll teach you how to fly a helicopter. So they'd videotape stuff like that. So we had to do a lot of self-produced segments. And that went out of business after about a year, just because there was no revenue model at that time. So I moved back to Los Angeles and pursued acting for a little while. Then got married, and how shall we say it? My ex-wife wasn't too big on pursuing a career in the industry, so that sort of got stifled for a long time. And then sort of the last 3 or 4 years, I just sort of started blogging, vlogging, and recently doing a podcast on sort of sports and entertainment and business, because I enjoy doing it, and I enjoy educating as well as you do, Karen, and getting other people's stories out there. Yes. Because like when I do my podcast, it isn't about me. I don't even mention Sparkle Time. I want to get other people on there. I want them to tell their story. I want them to tell about their business and how we can help them grow.
Okay. So I didn't realize that. So even on the sports end of things, you're doing interviews?
Correct.
Yeah.
So on the sports end, my first podcast victim was a young guy who went to Indiana University too. He's a sports broadcasting major. So I just posted that podcast like a week ago, and he was great. He's on the Big Ten Network. He's on ESPN3. So he's starting to get his legs. So it was a pleasure to interview him. My next podcast guy was an entrepreneur out of Reno, Nevada, named Rick Redding, who I've known for about 10 years. And he was talking about how small businesses can get tax credits through WOTC, through Work Opportunity Tax Credits, mm-hmm. from the Department of Labor, and also through cost segregation on commercial businesses that small business owners can own. So it's very revelatory to learn that there are ways to sort of recapture money from Uncle Sam when you might not think there is. So like you, just trying to introduce an audience to people they might not know about, yes. or hear about, and educate them and hopefully help them grow their business as well.
What is the name of your show then?
It is called Why Can't You?
What? Oh, I love it. And in Why Can't You is you're interviewing athletes and business owners and entertainers.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And it's at this moment, it's sometimes a lot of vlogging too. Sure. I've done 10 vlogs, and they've all been sort of on my journey in this first year of being a small business owner. And there's so much that goes into buying a business, from trying to buy one that has hopefully reconciled bank statements, to dealing with small business brokers, to your first day on the job, encountering the rattlesnake, and just different things.
Having employees perhaps not be on the same page, and having to hire new ones, and absolutely.
That's right.
So much goes into those first year, but those first, 5 to 7 years, really.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm just trying to share those experiences.
Love it.
Because even though I had some people mentor me, I would say I had so many unanswered questions. So I'm trying to, in these vlogs and podcasts, answer questions that I never felt I found the answers to anywhere on Google. It's just, how do I get the answer to this question? So that's what I'm trying to fill in the gap.
So appreciate that. How do we find you on the internet then?
You can go to davidbryson7.com.
Okay.
I have a website there where all my blogs and podcasts are hosted. So davidbryson7.com. I'm very active on LinkedIn. I do Facebook. I do Instagram. I do Twitter. So, and they're all davidbryson7.com.
Dude, no social media.
Nah,
you
I'm
have
trying.
To anyway. We have to.
We have to.
Yeah,
because it's like you, Karen, it's like you've put time and energy and effort in putting together a show. And it's like, while you enjoy doing it, your purpose is for other people to hear this, to benefit from it, to grow from
yes.
it. So we can't live in a box if we're doing this.
I'm always surprised, and it doesn't happen often, but I have had guests come on and I go looking for them on LinkedIn, or more so LinkedIn. Facebook, you and I are there because it makes sense for our businesses. Not every business does, but LinkedIn, really, people ought to be there, and they're not. And I always, or it's a very outdated profile, and it's not my place to come back and look. Of course, they ask, but I'm like, hey, listen, if you want to put yourself out there, you must increase your visibility. And that's what obviously Business Radio X is all about. And you're giving people that opportunity and educating them as well. We sure appreciate that. It's fascinating.
Yeah, Karen, you hit on a good point. One of the funniest things I run across is people either on Facebook or LinkedIn who have outdated profiles. And like you said, that's the first thing I'm doing is I meet somebody, I'm typing in their name in LinkedIn just to sort of see who they are, what they put up. And, you know, if we're meeting people in their mid 40s and it looks like they have their college yearbook photo in there, I'm like, all right, dude, time to update that a little. You're not, it's okay.
And I know a lot of, I used to own a social media company actually prior to coming on board with Phoenix Business Radio X. And a year ago was my opportunity. I was already kind of naturally enjoying social media, both for personal and professional, but learned a lot. And most people, my husband included, don't enjoy being on social media. However, as a business owner, again, I say you must be on there so people can see you. The idea of a website, just kind of a stagnant website anymore is outdated. And so social media is key. And people say, well, it's a time suck. And well, I recommend that you not do it yourself. And if you are going to do it yourself, then you make sure that you are disciplined with time. Set a timer, and just be on there. Make sure you're engaging and you make it personal so that people know it really is you and you're having an opportunity to have conversations with people, but limit yourself to the amount of time so you don't get sucked into the vortex of just, whatever, my cat photo or some of those other things, but to not be active on LinkedIn, Twitter. I mean, you don't have to be on all of them. I've got some great people who have been on the show before and we'll have them back on and we always have those conversations about social media, but I'd love to hear that you are out there, especially with your vlog and your radio show. In addition to Sparkle Time, people need to know how great you are and what service you have to offer, and we can't find you if you're not putting yourself out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you made a good point about posting cat pictures or dog pictures. And I think, in your social media, you need to have two different pages. On Facebook, have your business page where you post things about, Phoenix Business Radio X, and then have your personal page where you post your cat photos. And don't sort of muddle the two, because I think people are sending a different message to the people they want to meet. So like you said, within your social media, boy, if you can pay someone to do it, that's awesome. Because as I've got more into it, sometimes you're right. You can spend 2 hours sucked into the vortex and you're like, wow, I wish I had this 2 hours of my life back. But at the same time, you have to do that and you're building and growing your own business. And I like sometimes doing these things myself because it's a great learning experience so that if I do outsource it to someone else, I know sort of the mechanics of it, what goes into it and what to expect and sort of what questions I want to ask them.
And
if
I think we really have to do this in every aspect of our business, not just social media, but our accounting, our hiring, our customer service, our scheduler, our drivers, right? If you didn't get out there and actually wipe down a window and learn how to do that aspect of your business, how can you go out and quote bids or sit in a B&I meeting and talk about it? So yes, I not only with social media, but wouldn't you agree, with every aspect of our business, we at least have to put our feet in the trenches and feel what it feels like.
You know what came to mind when you said that was bookkeeping. So the gentleman I brought the business from, he did not have QuickBooks and he did not have reconciled bank statements. So basically, when I was in my due diligence period, I was handed just sort of a pile of bank statements and I sort of had to reconcile them on my own. And then when I bought the business, I bought QuickBooks and I had to hire a coach who does a share screen with me, once a month and help me learn how to organize books, because I want to add value to Sparkle Time so that, whenever my day comes, 5 years, 7 years, that I can hand it over to someone else and it'll increase the value of what you want to sell to the next person too.
Wouldn't you agree though, you couldn't just hand it off to an accountant or a bookkeeper and close a blind eye to it?
Absolutely. And that's one of the hardest things, because I wouldn't say accounting is my forte, but
mine
actually this last month, I didn't have to call my coach. I reconciled all my bank statements on my own. So I was like, yes,
that's huge.
Party time. So, so that was great. So, but you're right. I'm glad I know the mechanics of how to do it.
Good. Well, we would love to have you back on again, not only to talk about Sparkle Time, but I would like to hear a little bit more about this vlog and this podcast and everything that you're doing on behalf of business owners in the area of not only business, but entertainment and sports as well. Would you be willing to come back?
I would love that, Karen. It's been such a pleasure meeting you and getting to know you too.
Yes.
You're a great, great host.
Well, I appreciate that. And we've already spoken about getting your girlfriend and her fiance, I think you've been saying.
That's correct. My fiance, Anais, she does portrait photography for women, and she's going to kill me if I say this word, but glamour. It's not boudoir, it's glamour, and a lot of people have that association back to 80s and glam, and that's not what it is. It's giving women a chance to trans transform themselves for a day and really see themselves as if they could be on the cover of Vanity Fair or Glamour magazine or Vogue. And so it's sort of a transformative day, sometimes for a lady, sometimes for a lady and her girlfriend as well.
I know a lot of women who'd be interested in that opportunity. I've done plenty of head and shoulder shots and photo shoots for business, but that's very different than what I might want to give as a gift for my husband or to leave, you know, with my children or just to enjoy and feel beautiful and elegant for a day.
That's
and
right.
Have a memory of that through photography.
You know, and that's right, Karen. And I think one of the things Anaise talks about all the time is that when you take these pictures, you're sort of leaving a legacy. It's like your grandkids will see a picture of you looking beautiful and glamorous 100 years from now. They're going to be like, wow, who was that?
Grandma was hot.
That's it. Grandma was hot.
Right.
So that's sort of the feel that she wants to go for. You hit it right on the head.
Yeah, and my business photos, I hope they always show a good side of me and a pretty side of me. But at the same time, there's a whole different tone and persona that I put out there. So we would love to have her on and talk about her business.
I will let her know. She'll
Excellent.
Be up for it.
Well, tell our listeners one more time, where can we find you for Sparkle Time and for your radio show?
Okay. For Sparkle Time window washing, please go to sparkletime.net or call 480-225-5141. And you will speak with the awesome Bradley and he will get you scheduled as soon as possible. And for anything personal related to David Bryson, vlogs, blogs, podcasts, that would be davidbryson7.com. David Bryson, the number 7.com.
Wonderful. Thanks again for being here. I'm looking forward to having you come back. And on behalf of Phoenix Business Radio X, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people, I'm Karen Nowicki, and we'll see you next time.